Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Trupanion Medical Insurance for the life of your pet is a proud sponsor of Pure Dog Talk. Trupanion invites you to sign up for their breeder support program. This program allows breeders to provide their buyers with special offers to help protect the puppy in the event of any unexpected accidents or illnesses as they transition to their new home. By clicking the link on my partner page, you can join the program today. Additionally, Trupanion will provide you with informational materials for your puppy kits, and they'll offer one-on-one support, all at no cost to you. Sign up at the partner page today and mention Pure Dog Talk sent you. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I am really, really thrilled to be able to offer you this series that we have coming up for the remainder of the month of June. A couple years ago at the Carmel Dog Show, Del Monte Kennel Club in Carmel, California, Pure Dog Talk was really fortunate to be invited to moderate a Friday night forum. And the panel of that forum was truly spectacular. Pat Trotter, Dorothy McDonald, and Kim Meredith sitting in front of a crowd of questioners for an hour and a half, taking questions, answering questions, talking to people, some of the most amazing knowledge in this sport gathered in one room. And we live streamed it at the time, and I didn't think much of it. But as I was looking around at some of the holes that I thought we had in some of the information I wanted to provide people and opportunities for folks to listen to really great information, I hit upon that particular Friday night forum and decided that it was time to bring that to the actual podcast instead of just a Facebook live stream. So for your entertainment and education and just sheer enjoyment, I bring you part one of the Del Monte Kennel Club Friday night forum from 2017. Our guests here, we have three panelists. We have Kim Meredith Cavanna, we have Ms. Dorothy McDonald, and we have Pat Trotter, major member of your club here. This is a beautiful assembly of brains and longevity and knowledge in this sport. And we started doing these Friday night forums because I think too often our exhibitors kind of think judges were hatched from an egg. And they forget that they are people too, and that they come with knowledge, and they come with background, and they come with history, and they're not just there to make you feel bad because your puppy didn't win. And I think that's so important. And I think the more that we're able to engage with people and talk to people and learn from people, the better off the sport is as a whole. So that's it. From now on, my job is to make y'all ask questions and be quiet and let these smart people talk. So we're going to start with Kim Meredith. Please, we call it a 411. Quick introduction to yourself, your time in dogs, and we're going to be talking about the judge-exhibitor relationship, so any thoughts you might have on that, and we're going to move down the table and enjoy the rest of our people as well.
Okay. Kimberly Meredith Cavanna. I started showing dogs in 1972, when I was four.
I was barely born.
Yeah, I was barely born. In vitro. And I started with Alaskan Malamutes and had them for many years. I've had Dobermans also for about 20 years, and I just had my first Doberman litter. I bred over 60 Malamute champions, multiple best in show dogs, and on a very limited breeding program. I always bred like every 5 years or something if I wanted to keep something for myself. I don't think I ever bred a litter where I didn't keep something. So my feeling about judges and exhibitors is that I feel very strongly that exhibitors are why we're here. We owe everything to our exhibitors. If they don't come, we don't have dog shows. We don't have dog clubs. We don't have anything. So with the club I'm associated with, we try to do everything for our exhibitors. We haven't raised entry fees in 10 years. We haven't raised motorhome parking in 10 years. I mean, it's an expensive sport. I still show, you know, I know how hard it is for people. So I think it's very important that our exhibitors feel that their judges are knowledgeable, kind, number one, to both the dogs and the people. That's my priorities anyway. Thank you.
Very good. Mrs. Dorothy?
My name's Dorothy McDonald. I've been in dogs all my life, as far as that goes. Started in England. We had Welsh Terriers. My father had Welsh Terrier. My mother had Fox Terriers. All together. They were one or the other. My grandparents had Sealies, so we were pretty much into Terriers at that point in time. And when we came over, I got a big old hurrah over there on the Sealies.
Yeah.
And what year did you come to the United States?
Came to the United States in 1941, just before we went into the war. We were in the war by then. And we brought what dogs we had with us at the time, including a Kerry Blue that we'd rescued from Dunkirk. She was a bit beat up, but we patched her up and brought her with us. So, but her owner had been killed. And then over here, we pretty much stayed well with the dogs we had, of course. My mother got into Yorkshire Terriers in the 1950s. I went back to England and got a new puppy from the Sturkean kennel in 49. And then, so she stayed in them for quite a while. I went into Brittany's 1952 and, of course, never left them and helped write standards and change standards and spent most of my time with them. Have had Nova Scotia duck-tolling retrievers, too, and a few others, you know, had an Irish setter at one point, too. We had a long-haired dachshund, but my main thing was Brittany's and my mother's Yorkshire Terriers that I inherited when she died. So had that, judged a long time, been in field trials with Brittany's, what else? And so had judged as many field trials, well, not as many as shows, but have judged them as many years. And have had some wonderful dogs and seen some wonderful first-time field trial dogs coming out. In fact, I put up the first English setter that was running in the field that was a show champion, and he managed to finish his field title. That was the first time they'd had one. And then I did the first Irish setter field trial that the parent club ever put on. And of course, the Brittany trials go on all the time. And as far as the shows, I think they're important. I think the field is important. I think it's all important. And I don't think there has to be any kind of break between exhibitors and judges. It's nonsense. Everybody was an exhibitor at some point in time, and now you're becoming a judge just because it's the same thing. You're interested in the dog, the betterment of the dog to the breeds, and as long as you're more interested in the dogs than the people, there'll never be a split. If you start worrying about people and forgetting the dogs, then you've got trouble. You go take up another sport. But if you want dogs, you stay in dogs.
And I'm here to prove it.
And miss that. <Yeah.
laughs> That trotter, I started with Cockers in the late 40s. I started showing. And then I fell in love with an Elkhound in 49. And that's the way it's been ever since. We've had a long-term love affair. And I registered my first litter of Norwegian Elkhounds in 1951. And my most recent one this year. And I'm happy to say we're looking forward to another litter pretty quick. 4 weeks from today, we're looking forward to another litter. As far as the judge-exhibitor relationship goes, we're all on the same team, okay? And it's really important for us who exhibit to understand everybody at dog shows is a judge. If you don't think so, just hang around the ring and listen, you know? And I have never understood why everybody's dying to be a judge when they haven't enjoyed the dogs enough and they're breeding and they're exhibiting in the beginning. And it seems today we have more people wanting to judge dogs than we have people that are interested in preserving the breeds. But the dynamics of the judge and breeder and exhibitor relationship is we should all be dedicated to the preservation of our breeds. And I'd like to take a little side note to tell you, tonight is already successful for me because a gentleman just came up to me and introduced himself as John Cluett, And he said, my father had Norwegian elk hounds. I immediately said, Scott Cluett. And I think the last time Scott Cluett was exhibiting and judging Norwegian elk hounds would have been, what, in the early 60s?
Late 50s.
So that tells you how long I've been hanging around elk hounds, you know. And but another sidebar here. Another sidebar here. When I give my seminars on the breed, I use a picture of a dog that was born in 1936, imported to America from Norway by this gentleman's father.
Wow.
Won the breed at Westminster and Morrison Essex in the late 30s, right before World War II broke out, and is the epitome of a dog that could still win dog shows today. And when I give this seminar, I say, look at the neck and shoulder, forechest, return of upper arm, and whole profile of this dog. And even though the dog was a little ragged on coat in this particular picture, you could see him tufting and you knew he was shedding. He's a prototype of the breed. And too often, we are going through a process of changing breeds because what's showy and what's this and what's that. And if that dog were here today, alive, the replica of that dog, I would breed to him. So this is exciting for me. Okay?
May we have questions from the audience, please? And we will include live stream questions if you have questions out there in live stream land. Bring it on, people.
Okay, I have a question. All right. As judges, what do you expect from the exhibitor in the ring?
Okay, so the question, and I'm going to repeat these as we go along just so we make sure we have all the audio on this. The question is, as judges, all three of you, what do you expect from the exhibitor when they're in the ring? And we're going to do the same way we did it before. We're going to start with Kim.
I guess I just expect them to, you know, have a well-conditioned dog that's presented nicely. I don't care who shows the dog. I don't care what class it's in. I don't care, as long as it's in great condition and it conforms to its standard and it's well-presented and clean and happy. I mean, I think that's all us judges want is just, you know, a well-presented dog that's of some quality.
Ms. Dorothy?
Well, I like an exhibitor to be happy in the ring, frankly. To be happy because they're having a good time. I don't mind if they're scared. A lot of exhibitors are scared of the first time in the ring and so forth. That doesn't matter, as long as they're happy with their dog and are doing pretty much what I ask them to do and showing the dog the best of their ability, which isn't always the best possibility of done. Somebody else could do, but I'm interested in the dog and not the exhibitor's ability. I only use that because we need something to control the dog. And, as long as they're having a good time and enjoying it and the dog's having a good time, I don't ask any more from the exhibitor because it's the dog I want to see, the dog I want to have shown to me. And if they can do that, then we'll be very happy. And I have a good time with the exhibitors. I seldom have an exhibitor that's having a bad time. I like exhibitors, but I like the dogs more.
I like the dogs more, yeah. Pat?
Yeah, I wish everybody could be as good as their dogs. Anyhow, okay, here's the fun part here. First of all, I agree with Dottie. It doesn't matter if it's the first time in the ring. I try to reach out to them and say, you know what, we all had a first time in the ring somewhere, okay? So I start with that. When it is a newcomer, an obvious newcomer. But the truth of the matter is, I do want them to have a dog that's been somewhat prepared for the process because sometimes exhibitors will bring a dog in and it's quite wild. You know, it may be Red Duffy's playbook. I don't really know. The point is, I want them to have a dog that it will, at least we can go through the process of seeing the bite and get to see the dog move and make sure it has the proper attributes for that breed. So that we recognize it. And then I do like it when the exhibitor's having fun and the dog's having fun. It always hurts me when I see a dog come in. Indoor shows are where it's most likely to happen. Mm-hmm. A dog comes in and it's the first time it's ever been shown. Floor's kind of slippery when it's walking in and then it's put on a mat. And now it thinks, uh-oh, I'm going to get in trouble if I fall off this mat. So the dog will kind of grab a hold of the mat to go around the ring. And I just wish they had been to Plouse's class or the Kennel Club's class so the dog would get used to and be comfortable walking down back on a mat. So the main thing for starters, between what we expect, is we expect to have a dog that represents, it's been loved and conditioned and worked with, it's clean, it's healthy, and it's good to go. And then we hope it will signal to us that it could do the job that breed was bred to do. And we're always looking for that message from the dog.
Absolutely. Next question from the audience. Michelle, you were first up.
Oh, no, me.
You're next. I will remember you.
I'm new to showing, although I've been doing it for about 3 years now, but I went to Nationals last year, and in listening to the Nationals judge speak, one of the things that he talked about is that he critiqued the dogs to the exhibitors at the time they were shown. And I'm wondering, I realize that doesn't happen here in the United States, I'm wondering, what is a good way to approach a judge, perhaps outside of the ring, rather than running them down, to get a critique on your dog?
Okay,
because that's how I learn.
Right, and that's a great, great question. And I'm just going to repeat it so that everybody can definitely hear it. She asks how to go about coming to you as judges to get a critique of her dog. But she finds that that's a great way for her to learn, saw that that was done at the National and would like to see that more often. How would you guys like to be approached to have that question asked?
I am always happy to talk about what I've done when I'm judging, especially if it's a breed that I feel knowledgeable about, you know, that I've had a lot of experience with. There are many breeds. I mean, we all can't be experts in every breed that we judge. So I'm not even going to try. If I don't feel that I have known breeders or, you know, been around the breed for a long time, I'm just going to say, look, I'm not the one that you should be talking to. You should go to your breeder, go to some fellow, we'll just say Brittany breeders. If I feel like I have depth of background in a breed, I'm more than happy to talk to them. The attitude makes everything. If they come to you and they go, all right, you know, you tell me why I got 3 out of 3. Well, you know, just approach judges. I mean, I think it's good to do it if there's time, because, you know, we have 2 minutes a dog. So we have time slots. And if you have time after a time slot where you have enough time to take pictures or talk with somebody, absolutely go up to them with a good attitude and say, look, I'm just learning. You know, I have my dog here and I'm not quite sure. Could it have been my handling? A lot of times if a judge has a large entry, you're not quite frankly going to remember. I don't even try to pretend like I do. If someone comes to me and they said, I have an entry of 50, whatever Brittany's, and they say, I took 2 out of 3 in the 12 to 18 class. Could you tell me, you know, about my dog? Well, I don't remember. And I say, but later, if you want to bring your dog back to me and we'll go over him and we'll move him or her, then I'm more than happy to talk to them. And as a breeder myself, I love that. I love getting, I learn from the exhibitors and the breeders every time I judge. So I think just have a good attitude, make sure they have time. That's number one, because if you're trying to catch up in a time slot, it's not always possible. But I think, I don't know any judges, if you go at the right attitude and approach in the right way, that isn't happy to talk to them.
Okay, very good.
Well, I don't think time is the problem, although you don't have enough time to talk to everybody that wants to talk to you. I'm more than willing to talk to somebody, and I'll remember the dogs. If they came in my ring, I'll remember them. So I don't mind talking about them. It's just that when you go from one class straight over to another class, you really have to put the first class out of your mind, except maybe one dog you're carrying forward, and move on to the next group. And you cannot discuss right at that point. If I have a judge that is monitoring under me, I will take the time to talk to them because it's necessary for them to learn to get approach of the breed. But to spend the time with exhibitors, fond as I am of talking to them, I talk to people all the time, very happily, but I don't think you have the time to give them any kind of in-depth study unless it's something that you particularly didn't like or particularly did like. And in both cases, if there's something that I definitely feel they should know, I will tell them if there's any possibility of telling them. But to just discuss each individual dog, it's just not eligible on 25 an hour, and that's basically what you are working with. And if you put too much time into talking, then you don't have time for judging. Judging means looking at dogs. not talking to people.
Darn good point. Yeah, getting back to this time thing, I think it's a good idea for exhibitors to remember that judges are being asked to do more and more decision making in the same amount of time. For example, a dog has entered owner handler and it goes winner's dog. And the male goes best opposite. A male special goes best opposite that day to a bitch. Okay? It's not automatically going to be best owner handle because it hasn't beaten the winner's dog yet. So now the judge has to make those decisions. In other words, what we see happening here with all these additional special attractions is more and more time is being taken from the judge. So subsequently, there's less and less time, as everyone has mentioned, to talk to the exhibitor. So a good idea is if you can find time to say, you know, I really can't discuss it later. Catch me at break while the groups are going on and I'm sitting at ringside and bring your dog and let's talk about it then. And a really good point was made here. It's all in how you approach the judge. If you come up and say, what didn't you like about my dog? You've already dropped the curtain, okay? And one of the things I as a judge don't allow, because sometimes these handlers will try and do it to you. What didn't you like about my dog? He just won the national specialty. And that dog you put over, stop. We do not allow an exhibitor to talk about any dog except his own dog. And that's all the dogs we talk about when we're talking to them. And that's very important. And I think that's part of the interaction. So when you come up and you say, I'm relatively new, Michelle, you're not totally new, you finished the dog already. And the bottom line is you come up and you very nicely say, I'm rather new. Would you critique my dog and tell me what its strengths and weaknesses are? And if you can't do it right now, could I bring it back later? I don't think there's a judge anywhere that would refuse to do that. Okay?
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. I'm so excited, I just can't hide it. Yeah, I know, I promised I was never going to sing again. But I'm saying, our new audiobook is available now. Whoop, yeah! Pure Dog Talks, How to Stack Your Dog and Other Important Talks is a 2-CD set featuring early mentoring episodes from the podcast, tips, and previously unrecorded pep talks. This is a power-packed opportunity for folks who don't want to search our exhaustive 260-some-odd episode library for just the topic they're looking for. This 2-hour series is a great resource for breeders and mentors, 4-H leaders, anybody that's looking for a straight-line trajectory from what kind of dog should I get to raising a show dog, how to stack and move with your dog, to counting championship points for your new dog. Super easy to purchase. Just drop PayPal $25 a book to Laura at puredogtalk.com and make sure audiobook is in the comments and that your mailing address is included, because shipping is free, that's on me, and I'll have it to you in just a few days. Breeder and mentor bundles are available. I'll give you a 10% discount on 5 or more, and this is a very limited print run. So get your order in today. May not be here tomorrow.
Okay, you're next.
My question, and Pat, you led right into it. How do you feel about the owner-handler classes now that you have the judge?
Okay, the question is about owner-handler series, National Owner-Handler Series, and our thoughts on those as judges.
When it first came out, I think there was a lot of confusion and the exhibitors weren't really sure and the judges weren't really sure. Personally for me, I'm for anything the exhibitors want and like. Exhibitors come first. They are our world. So if they like it and they're happy doing it and it's important to them, and trust me, it is. They Very. Keep track of the points. I mean, it's really important in my show. I don't just give anybody the NOH classes to judge. I take it very seriously because our exhibitors take it very seriously. And anything we can do to encourage people to spend time with their dogs and show their dogs and be part of our wonderful sport, it's okay in my book.
I'm judging dogs. I don't care what comes in the ring, whether it's an owner or a handler or anybody else's dog. I'm judging the dogs. The titles as to who's eligible to get the ribbon, that's an academic thing that the AKC decides who can be awarded whatever ribbon. But I'm just judging dogs, and I don't care what title they have, what class they've come in. I'm judging the dogs that are in that ring that day, and the ones that move on to the next ring, I'm judging them against the next group or whenever. But that's all I do. I don't care what class it is because I'm not interested.
Okay, first of all, I've been an owner handler all my life. So obviously, I think it's okay. It's cool. The owner handler series is a little different than just being an owner handler. And although I'm eligible as a judge to show in the owner handler series, I would never do it because I don't think it's appropriate. Now, having said that, there's some flaws in the owner-handler series that I think need to be corrected, and I think the only way you're going to do that is to get organized and do it. Because first of all, the owner-handler series was created to give owners a feeling of comfort when they're showing and they want to win groups and they feel like the pros have it all over them, and they're not willing to tangle with the pros. So this is another area, and that's a good thing. I feel that is wrong for retired pros after 5 years to be able to go into owner-handler competition. What is that about? I feel that's wrong. I have questions about the fact that owner-handler series are offered at weekday shows. Just like I do junior showmanship at weekday shows, I believe kids should be in school during the week, not being yanked out of school to go to a dog show.
She was a school teacher.
Just in case anybody wondered.
And
I believe that most people that are in the owner-handler series are working 5 days a week to support their dogs. I don't feel that anybody that makes their living off the dogs ought to be eligible for the owner-handler series. And I feel that owner-handler's series would be best if it were designated as amateur owner-handler series. So that's my read on it. As far as what do I think of the series, I think anything that primes the pump of our sport is healthy.
Absolutely. Mary, did you have a question?
Yeah, this one's from Michael Morton online. Since all dogs are judged to a standard, why are ribbons not withheld more often when the standard is not met?
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Michael. Yes. Kim, we're going to start with you.
I do withhold, and I find myself sometimes doing it more and more. I've always, when I feel strongly of the standard. I do withhold, and I do believe in withholding if it's merited. There have been times where I've withheld winner's dog and winner's bitch when I've had multiple entries. So we've all seen judges and fellow exhibitors. We've all seen where in a certain breed, especially small entry breeds, where a certain breeder will bring four or five or six of their dogs and make their own majors, and not one of them is worthy of a point, leave alone a major. I do not hesitate to withhold in that case. So I try to do it kindly. I tried to tell them, you know, if this is your first dog, then go talk to some other breeders. And I think it's a tool that we need to use and probably should be used more often.
Dorothy?
Well, I certainly believe if a dog has any problem that warrants withholding the ribbon should be withheld. It's, in many cases, you're talking about a subjective opinion, unless you're talking about it's a pink dog and it should be a blue dog. In that case, it would be pretty obvious, and hopefully you'd withhold the ribbon from the pink dog. But I don't know that I've ever given a ribbon to a pink dog. But I certainly never would, knowingly, unless for some reason I thought it was blue. But as far as any other thing, if it isn't an absolute written there as a disqualification, then it's a matter of subjectivity, too, on your part, because it may not move the way you want it. It may have something that is something you dislike intensely in that breed, but it may not be a disqualification. Then you can still withhold for quality, but that would be a matter of your decision as a judge, and that I think you have to make. A disqualification, you don't have an option on. So you just have to make the right decision. First, you have to know your standards. Then you have to use the standard if it's needed to withhold. And if it isn't actually a disqualification, you have to use your judgment as to whether the dog is good enough to warrant getting a ribbon in the first place. It's a matter of subjectivity.
Okay. Prior to the select process, I withheld about, I'd say, half dozen times over the many years before that, because I felt the dog lacked quality. When I had an Irish Wolfhound with legs about this long, I withheld. That's just one example. And it was shown by a professional handler. And how I handled that was, he was in a class of three, and I gave it a white ribbon for fourth and held it in my hand so no one else could see it and said, here's your ribbon. All right, and you get the message. Having said that, after the select system was introduced, judges were put in the awkward spot of having dogs that others had awarded championship points to come into their ring for best of breed, and there was only one special able to beat it. Subsequently, it's automatically eligible for select, and many judges just said not awarded and initialed it in their judge's book. Before long, they were having the AKC reps come to them and say, you can't withhold select. And the pressure was on to award select because we want to keep every dog in the show ring. That was the idea. That's AKC's new mantra. Not admirable, but that's their new mantra. Now, having said that, the rest of the story is, let us assume that the guys came with that loaded entry. I saw this happen in English Toy Spaniels in West Virginia many years ago. Chuck judged them one day and Harry Smith judged them the next. And they were obviously from a puppy mill that knew there would be no other English Toy Spaniel there. So by entering all of their dogs to make the majors, they could get, shall we say, credentials for these dogs. Now, having said that, Chuck withheld all the ribbons the first day, and Dr. Harry Smith, God love him, rest in peace, he withheld them all the second day. It wasn't long after that that this select came in, and Chuck was talking with the head rep, Mrs. Proctor, and he said, what is this business that the subliminal message of AKC is every dog gets a participation ribbon, kind of a select or this or that, okay? Like they're doing with the kids today. Why don't we take away all emphasis on the idea of excellence? Sidebar. When Kim mentioned that you might remember the dogs that were outstanding and the ones that weren't, it's the same in teaching school. For 30 years plus, I had 150 kids a day at this very facility you're sitting in. You remember the outstanding kids, the ones that were achievers, and you remember the behavior kids that were really at the bottom of the food chain. But there were all these wonderful kids in between you don't remember, and that's another reason to bring your dog back when you ask the judge so they can get a second view at it if it's not right at the moment, you know, and give you a valid opinion. Anyhow, Chuck said, now, you are given this message that you want a select, whenever there's dog eligible, you want that select handed out, no matter what the quality of this dog might be. And Chuck said, you know, let's say, this is a hypothetical case, but not long ago, I withheld all the ribbons and English Toy Spaniels at a show. And let's say those dogs made their championship in the interim, and now they're brought before me. What does it say if I have to give a select ribbon to these dogs that 6 months ago I didn't think deserved a ribbon at all? So this, to me, is an area of grave concern. I can only say this. Fortunately, it hasn't been that bad, but I have not withheld a ribbon since the select system started. And I feel that we are more or less stuck with that process.
I have withheld.
Well, you have. And
I just mark not awarded. And I have never had.
I've been lucky that I haven't had one that bad in for select.
I just say not awarded. But I've never had a rep or anybody say anything to me about it.
Well, UML withheld enough. I have a very good friend who's withheld a lot. And the reps have come and made the statement. Plus, I think it depends on where you're judging and what. But I also have a friend who told me they got a letter from AKC that they were withholding too many selects.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was a phone call. Maybe AKC covered there and didn't put it in writing. I don't know. But I have heard about judges who have had problems with the powers that be if they don't give out selects. So I haven't had that problem.
I guess I haven't been busted yet.
Well, maybe the area you were in, the reps were agreed with you, too.
Thank you so much for joining us. This has been part one of the Del Monte Kennel Club Friday Night Forum from 2017, featuring Pat Trotter, Dorothy McDonald, and Kim Meredith. We will have parts two and three upcoming in the next couple weeks. Stay tuned. Pet Mates tip of the week is keep your dog safe in your home and your home safe from your dog by crate training your puppy so he's happy, comfortably snoozing away while you run errands, pick up the kids from school, or even enjoy a date night. It's bad enough to come home to garbage strewn all over the house, but if your dog eats the wrong thing, his mayhem can turn deadly really fast. Check out Pet Mates Plastic Kennels, a safe and secure home for your dog. Just click the link at www.puredogtalk.com/partners and use promo code PUREDOG for special savings only for you guys, Pure Dog Talk listeners. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.